start in again. Now, I noticed on Steve's career that in 25, he just played a very few games, and he told me today that Tris sent him down to Kansas City to learn to be an outfielder. Did he also have knee trouble or something?
That's right. He had a knee trouble before he went down there. And his knee got better.
Yeah.
And then Tris Speaker sent him down there to, uh-huh. to learn to play the outfield. And that's when Donnie Bush bought him.
Ah.
Old Donnie.
Where?
He bought him from Indianapolis, I think it was.
Well, Donnie owned or
Donnie
owned Indianapolis for a while and managed it, and they named the field there after him. After
that's right.
Yeah.
Donnie got him from Cleveland. I think I'm right.
Well, he went straight to the Cubs, I think, from Cleveland. Yeah, he did.
Who, Steve?
Yeah.
No, he went to Indianapolis and the Cubs.
Well, yeah, but he never played for. He played for, was Indianapolis, I was thinking it was Kansas City. Yeah.
Or it might have been Kansas City.
Anyway,
see which one it was.
It doesn't show the minor leagues, no. That's what I dislike about
it. Might have been Kansas
this.
City.
Yeah. I think it was, because he mentioned
well,
it.
Well, it was in AAA.
Yeah.
It was in AAA.
That's when they were in the American Association.
That's right. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah. All right.
I believe it was Kansas City. But it's everywhere. Where was Donnie Bush?
Well, he was a lot of places. It's hard to say. He managed at Indianapolis for a time.
Well, I believe Donnie Bush had him in Indianapolis and sold him to the Cubs.
That could be, yeah. Could be. How come you were so much better hitter than Luke?
I'm going to tell you this. I can't ever remember when I was a boy back in Titus, when I couldn't throw up a Coca-Cola top or a rock and hit it with a broomstick handle
mm-hmm.
or a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And all that time I was developing my reflexes, my coordination,
mm-hmm.
and I've always had good eyes.
Yeah, that's great.
And I followed the ball. You can't hit a Coca-Cola top unless you're looking at it.
That's for sure.
And you can't even hit a rock unless you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Well, I was doing that.
That's
well,
right.
I was developing all that. And when I hit the major leagues, I didn't look at the pitcher. I'd pick up that ball, and I'd follow that ball right up, mm-hmm. and I'd hit that ball. First thing you got to do is learn where the strike zone is.
Yeah.
And then follow that ball up and make it be in the strike zone. And then I could see that ball leave my bat.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't do it back here, or you can't do it with your head down. You got to look here.
That's great.
Did
you choke up the bat much?
Not much.
No, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You just that knob. That's when we had to have bigger knob.
All right.
But I was just gifted. As I tell you, I can't ever remember when I couldn't hit. Can't ever
That's
remember.
For sure. Well, you developed it and worked at it, and it paid off.
That's right. That's right. But and I tell you, see, I coached out here in Alabama 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and I tell them boys, I said, look at the ball, look at it, and they say, I'll look at it, but they're falling up there, just out about a yard, and the ball does something, and they miss it.
Exactly. You had old Stuffy McInnes for a while.
Old Stuffy. Stuffy played first base for us. Stuffy was a good one, too.
He had to be one of the best.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Stuffy was real good. Stuffy would be right in his prime today. Stuffy was a one-handed first baseman.
They call him kind of grandstander in
that's right,
those
but,
days. Yeah.
But I can tell you one thing, old Stuffy would sure come up with that ball in the dirt.
He hit 305 for you.
Yeah, he played good ball for Cleveland.
Yeah, everywhere he played, I think.
Yeah, everywhere he played.
Then you got a pitcher in 23, Joe Shea.
Yeah.
How about Joe?
Joe was all right. Joe was a good left-hand pitcher, but he was a he gets us in more jams of the fella. We go in the clubhouse and speak with our manager.
Mm-hmm.
Go in and have a meetings. Gonna pitch to, well, we'd say Gary. Gonna play him left center.
Mm-hmm.
And move all the outfielders over, you know, and the infielder shifts around. And pretty soon, Joe would go in and Gary would come to the bat. He'd throw a little cunny thumb curves. They call it on the inside, and Gary could double down the right field line, run to third base. We come in the clubhouse and say, Joe, what in the heavens would you throw that ball inside to Gary for? We're going to pitch outside. But the infielders and outfielders, all, he said the ball got away. You couldn't dispute that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Joe was a good pitcher. Joe had several good years.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you the truth about Joe, ought to have been a better pitcher than he, than his record showed.
Yeah. There are a lot of them like that.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. And what kind of player was Homer Soma?
Soma, he was a good, couldn't throw a lick. Couldn't throw a lick. But he was a good hitter, fast, smart as a whip. He was intelligent. He was a banker in out in California somewhere that a long time. He passed away now. But he was a good hitter and a principal fellow. He was a team man.
Yeah.
Good. He was all right.
Now, in 26, after 26, Speaker gave up the manager's job.
Uh-huh.
Was he fired, really, or was he ready?
Had a lot of controversy, I'll say that. A lot of controversy, and I don't know where he was asked to resign, or, or he resigned on his own. I never did know.
What sort of a manager for the one
great,
year was
great.
McAllister?
McAllister, he was lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. He only never been, but he and Mrs. Dunn. See, Mr. Dunn had died, didn't
uh-huh.
he? And Mrs. Dunn owned the ball club, and she and Jack were real close. So
uh-huh.
she put Jack in there. She's the one that put Jack in there.
Mr.
Bernard was our general manager. You see. But Mrs. Dunn owned the ball.
He only lasted a year.
That's right.
Yeah.
He should have never taken the job.
And
Jack was a good coach.
Yeah.
Good coach.
There are lots of good coaches
that
came back good managers.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly. He was one of them.
Yeah. That year, Willis came up, Willis Hudlin.
He was an exceptionally young, good young pitcher.
Yeah.
And was a good pitcher all the way through.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He said he used to have trouble with control.
That's right. We had two young fellas come to Cleveland. The first year that they was there was the finest looking young ball players I ever saw. Joe Vosmick was the outfielder, and Willis Hudlin was the pitcher. They was as fine as, in that position, they was as fine looking young ball players as I ever saw.
I don't know why I haven't got Joe's name on here somewhere. I always do.
But Joe Vosmick come to Cleveland, and the first year he was there, the older fellow would sit around and predict, and I predicted, I says, If Joe Vosmick improves at all, he'll lead the American League in 2 years. But he never did. He was just as good the first year as he was 2 years.
That was pretty good, but it wasn't as great as
that. That's right. That's right. He never improved a bit. But he was the finest looking young ball player that ever that I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
He and Hudlin. I mean, to the Cleveland ball club.
You had another guy who used to tear up the minor leagues but never quite did it in the majors, Nick Cullum.
Oh, yeah. He was the best natured fellow with his fortune you ever saw.
Yeah.
The harder they'd throw, the harder he'd swing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't come close to that ball. He was a Swede.
Yeah, was he really? Yeah.
Oh, Nick. They'd throw that ball just about the top of the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his bat way up over his head. And he couldn't get that bat in the same plane with that ball. And by the time that ball got up here, you see, Dick's bat was down here, but when he got in the same plane with that ball, the ball's gone.
You can make a good list of great minor leaguers, both hitters and pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
Who just couldn't do it in the majors.
That's right. And he's one of them.
Lou Novikov was one of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's several. And everybody wonders what's wrong with it.
It's hard. It's psychological in part, but physical in part too. Mm. Let's just see what the great Cullip did for you.
Now he led. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't lead every minor league that he's ever in.
I think he did. Yeah, Pacific Coast.
And we had a boy from here was on our Alabama baseball team, Ike Boone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Ike Boone was the greatest minor league player that I ever saw that ever come through.
Yeah.
And he hit in the major leagues too, but he didn't.
Nick didn't. He was with the Yankees in 26, Washington and Cleveland in 27, Brooklyn in 29. Cincinnati in 30 and 31, the average 249. Hit a total of 11 home runs. And he must hit 60 in one season.
In the minor league. He just wore out them pitchers in the minor league.
Now, you got Roger Peckinpah as a manager in 28. Uh-huh.
Roger was a good manager.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I thought a lot of Roger. Roger was a good baseball man. He knew baseball, but Roger couldn't handle his men.
That's the problem.
He couldn't handle his men as good as Speaker or Joe McCarthy Connie Mack or some of those.
He did bring them. He took them over sixth place team in 27. Finished seventh his first year, but then he went third, fourth, and second.
That's right.
And then now you moved to the Yankees.
I moved to the Yankees in 31.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought a lot of Roger.
Yeah.
He was a good.
You had to. Mm-hmm. He had a very unfortunate 1925 series.
Yeah.
Making eight errors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those things happen.
That can happen.
No,
sure.
Those things
to the best.
Can happen.
What was my namesake like? Sam Langford.
Oh, I got the greatest story on Sam Langford.
Really? Tell me.
Sam, you know, he's one of the finest boys that you want to talk to. Mm-hmm. Likeable. Just pleasant. Mm-hmm. He loved to be around him. But you know, Sam, the Cleveland Ball Club needed an outfielder. Mm-hmm. So they went down in the Texas League and they got Sam. Sam was lead the Texas League at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good hitter.
Yes.
But he hit that against right-handers. And Sam, he couldn't hit a left-hander with a paddle. All right, Sam never had hit it lefty Grove. Lefty was right in his prime then.
That would be murder, wouldn't it?
All right. Well, we were going to play the athletics on this particular day, and I hit right behind Sam. Sam was already four there, but I hit right behind Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that little old ring. But before the ball game, we schooled Sam on how to hit lefty grooves. We told him, said, now, it was a clear day that day. He said, you got to be ready because he's going to just, when his ball is, he's throwing half speed, it's faster than any left-hander you ever saw.
Yeah.
But I said, when he gets bearing down out there, you got to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And we schooled old Sam the best we could on how to hit lefty grooves. When the ball game started, Chris Speaker was our manager. Sam on his first three strip to the plate. I was sitting that little old ring out there.
Yeah.
Sam didn't foul a ball. He struck out three times. But boy, he never let up. He was cutting it, slashing up there. Dust was flying. So on his fourth strip to the plate, Sam had one strike on him, and he, on the next pitch, he fouled the ball.
Oh.
First one he fouled all day, and the stands gave him a big hand.
Oh, boy.
So Chris Speaker was sitting over on the bench, and he hollered to him, says, say, Sam, you want me to send a pinch hitter up for you? Sam says, what is that? Speaker says, want me to send a pinch hitter up for you? Sam said to him, says, hell no, I'll be through here in just a minute.
And he was.
And he struck out. he fouled one pitch all day long.
That was a moral victory.
But Sal had a trick knee.
Mm-hmm.
And that
was his undoing.
That was his undoing. One day we was in Washington, and he rounded third base, going to score, and he got about halfway, and down he went. His knee come out, and he fooled around there and got it back in. I don't know if I forgot where he scored or not. But
too bad.
Yeah.
Well, in 29, they moved you to third base.
Uh-huh.
And Wes Farrell came along.
That's right. Boy, he ought to be in Cooperstown.
I agree.
I'm going to tell you about third base. Now, I played shortstop all those years.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have played third base all those years that I was playing shortstop, I'd have lasted you'd about two, maybe
two,
three,
three years longer.
I'm
sure you're right.
Yeah.
And you picked up Bibb Falk from the White Sox.
Uh-huh. Old Bibb.
He was a little past his prime.
Prime, but still he was a good hitter. He could still hit. He just liked the way he slowed up a foot.
Yeah.
But he could still hit.
When I was a boy, I was probably no more than 10 or 11 years old, when Falk was still at the University of Texas.
Coaching?
No, playing. He was still a student before he'd gone up.
Yeah.
Our town team was playing little town team Donna, Texas. And who showed up to pitch for Donna but Bibb Falk, who was famous already around my area, even as a college student.
Yeah.
But he was a pitcher then, and the game went 17 innings, nothing to nothing till the 16th. Our team was the visiting team, scored in the 16th, and they tied it in the bottom. And in the 17th inning, Falk himself drove in the winning run and beat us 2-1.
2-1.
I wrote to Falk, see if I could talk with him, and I reminded him of that incident. He wrote back a nice letter, but said, I really can't talk with you because the only person that I have interviews with nowadays is my doctor. So I guess he's not.
I think Bibb was in bad health.
Yeah.
You know, he broke his leg, didn't he? He broke his leg somewhere and fell out of a tree or something.
Didn't know
that. Yeah. But he's had his problems, I'll say that.
Another good hitter, Earl Averill.
Oh, sure. Old Earl. Earl came to us the first trip that he went to the bat in the major league. He came out of the Coast League,
mm-hmm.
and all the papers had him all built up and everything. But the first trip he come to the bat in the major leagues, he hit a home run.
That's wonderful.
He's over that right field wall.
Yep.
He was a good hitter, and he finally made a good outfield
mm-hmm.
out of himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fine asset. Well, he stayed a long time. He's in the Hall of Fame.
He belongs there. Yeah.
Yeah, he belongs there. He made a good outfielder out of himself, but he did it. He worked hard.
Well, a lot of Pete Rose admits that hard work has made him as much as anything else.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, that's right.
And certainly,
You can't play. Ain't no easy way to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no easy way.
Then in 30, you got Mel Harder.
Old Chief.
Yeah, I talked with him already out in Sun City.
He was a good pitcher.
Yes.
He helped us. He was another one of them young pitchers that come in.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't quite as good a pitcher as Averill. As Hudlin. He wasn't quite as...
Well, his record finally was better.
Better.
But he may not have as much stuff.
But he developed a curveball.
I think he told me about that.
Yeah, he developed a curveball after he come in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him. That
made
set him up.
Yep. Then you go to the Yankees in 31.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about some of those great guys, Gehrig, Lazeri, and Ruth, and Combs, and Dickey, and Gomez, and Ruffing.
Well, it's like I said to you a while ago. I think our 1932 Yankee ball club was just equally, if not better than some of those old Yankee
mm-hmm.
ball clubs that they talk about.
Yeah, I
but
think
it was
right.
it was a... I can tell you one thing. It was an easy ball. If you could play ball, it was easier to play on that club.
Mm-hmm.
If you could play ball, you
That's
had to be
right.
qualified.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because they all could play ball.
Yep.
In fact, I could have managed the Yankees. Now, you could have managed the Yankees. Anybody could have managed the Yankees.
Yeah.
All you had to do was give the pitcher a ball and say, you pitching today.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you right now, if you hit a ball and didn't run it out, McCarthy didn't get on you.
Mm-hmm.
Them ball players get on you. Ruth or Gehrig or Lazaria.
That's better even.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
McCarthy wouldn't say a word. But they were all winners.
Yeah,
that's the reason.
That's right.
You know, the people, the general public don't realize that, but you're in there. And
the Yankee tradition.
That's it.
The
they're all
stripes
winners.
And all of that, it meant something.
Mighty right.
Yeah.
And it was just easy to play. In fact, I hit right ahead of Ruth all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best job that I ever had in baseball.
That's
the easiest job.
Yep.
Because they were trying to keep me off the
sure.
bases, you know.
Yep.
That Ruth and Gary and Dickie and Lazarian and coming up behind me.
What a murderer's row.
Yeah.
No, you had Johnny Allen at Cleveland for a while.
Yeah, he came over there after
and
I left.
And he went to New York after. Oh.
He came to Cleveland. You see, Johnny was with the Yankees. Let's see. I don't forgot who he was. But he came to the Yankees. I don't know where they. Seemed like they got him from Toledo. Does that sound
no,
right?
No, I don't know.
I don't know,
league.
But they got him from somewhere.
I don't know his minor league background.
I don't know. Yet. I've forgotten it. So many of those fellas. But now John Allen was a. Now he. You talk about a mean pitcher.
He was
mean.
He was mean as they come.
He
I guess.
Minor just.
Yeah, I'd forgotten. He was with the Yankees before he went to Cleveland.
Oh yeah, he.
Yeah.
Yeah. I done left the Yankees before he went to Cleveland. He went to, what time did he go to Cleveland?
In 36.
I figured say about 36. Yeah.
And then in 37 he had that famous year where he had won, he was 15-0 mm-hmm. on the last day of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And goes out and gets beat in the last game 2-1 or
1-0
or something
nothing.
Like that.
I
don't
remember that.
Yeah.
But now he was a winner and me.
Oh yes.
Back in our era, you know, we didn't have any helmets, nothing like that.
No way.
No way to have it. And I heard old Johnny say to them hitters, said, get up there, said, you going down. And he'd knock them down. He said, get up there, you going down again. And mm-hmm. knock them down, and then strike them out.
Oh, right.
Well, yeah. They were to do that now, they'd run them out of baseball.
Yeah, that's right. Even with the helmets.
Yeah.
But
Johnny was a good pitcher. He was a winner.
That's right.
Hipgrass and Pennock, Gomez, and Ruffin. They were great.
Great. And then one of the earlier relief pitchers of note, Wilson Moore.
Wilson come in.
Yeah.
You see, Wilson come in now, and then he left and went back somewhere, Texas League or somewhere.
Mm.
And then he come back to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He come back. I forgot where. But.
Yeah.
But Wilson was a good relief pitcher. He had that sinker, you know,
yeah.
And had good control with it.
In the 32 series, that's known as one of the most bitter feelings between the two clubs.
I heard every bit of it.
Yeah, I'll bet. Partly because they say McCarthy had been fired as the Cub manager after bringing the pennant. Partly because they wouldn't vote Mark Koenig a full share.
That was the thing.
That was
I was in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
The day the papers come out, and the Cubs had voted Mark Koenig a half a share.
Half or something, yeah.
Half a share.
Well, Charlie Graham told me, says, I tried to talk him out. I said, that's not right. That's just not right. But they went ahead and voted him.
Ruth, Gary, Lazari, Dickie,
Coombs,
Chapman,
yeah.
All them fellas, they were on the club with Coney, and they liked Coney. Coney
right.
was a good ball player. They liked Coney.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for Coney, they wouldn't have won the pennant.
That's right.
And just like me going to Cleveland in 1920.
Exactly.
Same principle.
Same idea.
Same
yeah.
principle. All right. When, and boy, they every day, see, they, every day they just kept building up.
Yeah, that's right.
Every day they built up. And the day the World Series started in New York, We all want to take a hit in practice, you see. Ruth would take his turn at the bat, and in the old Yankee Stadium, you see, everybody had to come right out through the Vista's dugout. Mm-hmm. I mean the home dugout.
Yeah.
The Vista's then had to go across the field over there.
Yeah.
Now they've switched the sides of the field.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to come out right by our bench, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth would come in and sit right here. And you could reach out and touch them fellas that's coming in. They had a little old
yeah.
rail there.
Mm-hmm.
He'd sit right here. All right, he did 2-3 times, you know, we hit around as just mm-hmm. much as we want. So he was in there, and they hadn't showed up. So after a while, they started coming out. And as they started the first one come out, you never in your life heard the language that Ruth gave. They all let in on.
Mm-hmm.
See, all the boys them down the bench, you see?
Yeah.
They just all just like a bunch of
really
just like a bunch of Guineas.
Yeah.
They were letting them have it. And you know the only fellow that none of the rest of them said a word except Gabby Hartnett. Gabby Hartnett walked out there about 4 minutes that corner there.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned around and he blasted back at Ruth. And Ruth and him were blasting back at each other, cussing each other. That's
mm-hmm.
what they were doing. And you never heard such. I know people in the stand could hear it.
Yeah.
But that went on all the series.
That's what I did.
And when Ruth pointed to the fence,
mm-hmm.
Ruth didn't say a word to the pitcher, Bush.
Yeah.
Didn't say a word to him. He was fussing at Buddy Grimes and Bob Smith sitting over on the bench. They was all, and Buddy Grimes had a towel over his head. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
I had just hit a ball just before that, and Hack Wilson, I hit the ball good to left center, and Hack caught it. But I went back to the bench, got my drink of water, you know, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down, come sit down on the bench down in the dugout. And sat down by old Jimmy Boyd, the old coach. Just had me sitting there. And we were behind. And old Jimmy Boyd, Ruth was up there clowning around, you know, one finger and two fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth was, Jimmy Boyd was cursing Ruth too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so get up there, play, stop playing and clowning around and stuff like that. But Ruth was talking this way, and he got back out of the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
I went out of the box.
Better watch.
And with them two fingers, and he had his bat in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pitcher in Cooperstown got it down here.
Mm-hmm.
But the best I can remember, he had it in his hand, just kind of holding it. And he pointed this way at Buddy Grimes and them. I got a mental picture of that ball going out of the ballpark. Don't let anybody tell you he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of them, Sir Rick Stevenson says, I don't know where he pointed it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was in the outfield, you see. He was playing in the game, too.
Yeah.
But as that ball went, you've seen golf balls, how it take off.
Just
that ball just went right straight and went through a tree and outside of the ballpark in center field. And it was loaded with little boys up there watching the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And as that ball went through that tree, they just evaporated. It was all after the ball, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now we didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ruth rounded third base, coming, I don't know where they come from, but the cabbage and mm-hmm. oranges and
yeah.
apples, and they threw all that kind of mess out there. Well, the groundkeepers had to come out and pick it up. So after the ball game was over, now we got in the clubhouse. We didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Ruth says, I told that little kid I was going to hit him a home run this evening.
Oh,
and what had happened, he'd went to a hospital that morning.
Yeah, I've read about that.
All right.
Yeah.
He told us that in the clubhouse after it was over with. And that he told that little kid he was going to hit him a home run, and he hit it.
He sure did.
Well, now, Miss Sewell was sitting up in the stands with Miss Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Sewell said that Miss Ruth hollered to Babe early in the ball game, said, remember that little kid now, hit him a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And, but,
tremendous.
But now, there's been a lot of controversy over that, whether he hit the home run or not.
Yeah.
A lot of newspaper men said this and that.
I know.
But now, Buddy Grimes, now, I was in Chicago. They gave me that clock right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Graham told just exactly what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. He told, sat down on the bench, and when he got through, I says, Billy, I'm glad you told me that story.
That's right.
Because that's exactly the story that I've told numbers of times.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, it's one of the most controversial.
That's right. It's still a lot of things, but don't let anybody tell you that he didn't. Because I saw that.
Yeah. Most of the Cubs, of course, naturally deny that he called his shot and hit it.
That's right.
But that's what you'd expect.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But we were behind at that time.
Yeah.
And in that ball game, I'll never forget, we had a man on second and third. I forgot who they were now. And I came to bat. Mm-hmm. And we were behind. That one run would put us in front.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit a ball off of Jackie May.
Yeah.
I never will forget old Jackie. Yeah. He threw me that ball. Kyler was playing right field.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit a line drive out there, and that thing, I thought it never would fall. It didn't get no high on that goal there.
Yeah.
And it just kept going. I stopped about halfway, and I was pulling it down.
Yeah.
If Kyler would have come in, he'd have caught that ball. But he played it back on the first hop, and both runs scored. I tell all them boys, has $1 million lick.
That's right.